Laudator Jesus Christus, Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Monday, 17th May, Pope Francis speaks by phone to Turkish President Tayyip Erdogan as hostilities between Israel and Palestine extend into the second week. A bishop in the Philippines voices opposition against government moves to lift the mining ban, and a recent report highlights the hard toll of COVID-19 among priests in India as infection rates continue to rise. In the Vatican, I'm Father Benedict Mayaki. Almost 200 people have been killed, including 55 children, since the escalation of violence between Israel and Palestine began last week. Pope Francis, as well as other leaders and international agencies, have called for an end to the hostilities amid the rising death toll. On Monday, the Pope spoke to Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan.
Hostilities between Israel and Palestine extended into a second week on Monday as Israeli airstrikes pounded the Gaza Strip after Palestinian forces fired rocket barrages at southern Israeli cities. Currently, at least 192 people, including women and children, have been killed in the Gaza Strip since the violence began a week ago. 10 Israelis have also died in the conflict. International calls for ceasefire have mounted in recent days, but have failed to make much progress. In a statement on Sunday, UNICEF Executive Director Henrietta Fore called for an end to the violence, emphasizing that the only way out is a diplomatic solution for the sake of all children and for their future. She noted that over the past week, at least 55 children in the state of Palestine and 2 children in Israel have been killed. At the same time, she said, in Gaza, schools have been destroyed, homes and offices have been flattened, and entire families have been displaced, while schools, homes, and buildings have also been damaged in Israel. Pope Francis spoke about the situation on Monday in a telephone call with the President of Turkey, Recep Tayyip Erdogan, according to the Director of the Holy See Press Office. Earlier at the Regina Caeli on Sunday, Pope Francis appealed, in the name of God, for calm amongst the parties in the conflict. He lamented the deaths of dozens of children in hostilities, stressing that it is terrible and unacceptable, and a sign that people do not want to build the future, but to destroy it. Holy Father urged Israeli and Palestinian leaders to walk the path of peace with the help of the international community, and called for prayers for Israelis and Palestinians, including the victims of the conflict, especially the children. I'm Christopher Wells.
As India continues to reel under the unrelenting waves of COVID-19, averaging 4,000 deaths every day, the virus has also had a heavy toll on members of the Catholic Church in the country. At least 120 Catholic priests have died from COVID-19 in the past month, or an average of 4 each day. Robin Gomes has more on that story.
The distressing news comes from Capuchin priest Father Suresh Matthew, editor of the church-run Indian Currents magazine. He has compiled the names, dioceses and religious congregations of 117 priests who died between April 10th to May the 14th. Of these, 48 are from different religious orders, with Jesuits topping the list with 19 deaths. The list is incomplete, as many deaths in the second wave of the pandemic have not been reported from the country's 174 dioceses, Father Matthew told UK News. Even this initial list is very alarming, as we have only some 30,000 Catholic priests, and if 4 die daily, it's a matter of great concern for all of us, he explained. The list of deceased priests includes religious and diocesan priests of the Catholic Church of India, which comprises the Latin Rite Church and the 2 Eastern Rites, the Siromalabar and Siromalankara churches. Since mid-April, India has been reporting more than 300,000 new cases daily, with hospitals in acute shortage of beds, oxygen and vital medicines. Sick people have filled hospital corridors and compounds, while many have died inside ambulances waiting outside hospitals seeking medical attention. Crematoriums and burial grounds have been overwhelmed with large numbers of dead bodies lined up. The situation has become even more heartrending, with images of numerous bodies floating in rivers, as many people, unable to bear the expenses of paying the last respects to their loved ones, are dumping them into the rivers. India's health ministry on Monday reported 281,386 new infections, dropping below the 300,000 mark for the first time since April 21st. New deaths stood at 4,106, still above the 4,000 daily average. I am Robin Gomes.
Preparations are underway in Hungary for the massive International Eucharistic Congress, where Pope Francis is due to preside at the closing mass in September. As Stefan Boss reports from Budapest, Hungarian Cardinal Peter Erdő spoke with the Vatican about the gathering that he views as a sign of hope for Hungary, which was hard hit by the coronavirus pandemic.
The head of Hungary's Catholic Church said the upcoming International Eucharistic Congress in Budapest, attended by Pope Francis this September, is a symbol of life after the coronavirus pandemic. Cardinal Peter Erdő made the comments when his nation mourns with more than 29,000 reported COVID-19-related deaths on a population of nearly 10 million. Cardinal Erdő said in a statement that he spoke about the Pope's participation in the International Eucharistic Congress with the Vatican's Secretary of State, Cardinal Pietro Parolin. Cardinal Erdő said his talks focused on organizational matters concerning the upcoming Congress, which was postponed last year due to the coronavirus pandemic. The Cardinal added that a Vatican delegation inspected the Budapest venue of the Congress last week. With Hungary slowly reopening amid the coronavirus pandemic, the massive event is to include the September 12th closing mass held at Budapest's majestic Hero Square. Pope Francis is expected to preside at the massive mass in the heart of Hungary's capital. Organizers say the ceremony is to feature the 120-member orchestra of the Hungarian State Opera, with a choir of 2,000. Cardinal Erdő, who will also celebrate Mass, followed by a procession to Hero Square, said the Pope's visit is historic. He noted that the International Eucharistic Congress closing Mass would be the first in 20 years to be attended by the Pontiff. He added that the Pope would also have separate meetings with the faithful. Gábor Mohos, who heads the Congress Secretariat, suggests that the gathering means an encouragement to those suffering from the coronavirus pandemic. We are thrilled to be able to announce the organizing of this event again, he says. We did not give up hope despite the ongoing pandemic, and we are happy to organize offline, in person, this event again. The Congress, held from September 5 through September 12, is also expected to be attended by other church leaders and religious representatives. Among them are Greek and Eastern Catholic bishops, as well as Orthodox and Protestant guests and representatives of the Jewish community and civil society. For Vatican Radio, I am Stefan Bos in Budapest.
As Laudato Si Week gets underway across the globe, a bishop in the Philippines has taken the opportunity to decry a government decision to lift a mining ban. The head of the Manila Archdiocese says poor communities will pay the price for an increase in mining activity, but see none of the gain. Devin Watkins has that story.
The church-wide celebration of Laudato Si Week got underway on Sunday, with Pope Francis inviting everyone to take part in the care of our common home. He said the initiative seeks to help people to listen better to the cry of the earth and the cry of the poor. Laudato Si Week, which runs from May 16th to the 25th, is the main event in the special Laudato Si year, which marks 5 years since the publication of the Pope's encyclical on the care of our common home. As the week got started, Filipino Bishop Broderick Pabillo took the opportunity to speak out against a government decision to allow new mining deals. The bishop, who acts as the apostolic administrator of Manila Archdiocese, said Sunday that it is the poor who will suffer as a result of the decision. In our current situation, it will not benefit the country, but only just a few, said Bishop Pabillo. President Rodrigo Duterte signed an executive order on April 14th lifting a 9-year moratorium on new mining deals. His spokesman said some $4 billion worth of capital investment deals are in the pipeline, which would generate more than $800 million in local taxes. Bishop Abillo lamented the government allowing more environmental destruction in order to fill public coffers. They really need the money for next year's elections, said the bishop, and these big mining firms are the ones giving away money in exchange for getting permits, he alleged. Bishop Abillo also warned that more mining operations will lead to an uptick in human rights violations, especially against poorer and indigenous communities. we will again see more human rights violations, red tagging of indigenous peoples, farmers, fishermen, and environmentalists that are against mining, he said. The church in the Philippines has already spoken out against the lifting of the mining ban. When the decision was announced in mid-April, the director of Caritas Philippines urged the government to reconsider. Bishop Jose Bagaforo said mining companies have only left behind a trail of ill effects to the local ecosystems, which still threaten communities who gain nothing from the operations. I'm Devin Watkins.
Pope Francis on Monday appointed Jesuit Father Stephen Chow Sao Yan as the Bishop of Hong Kong Diocese. Bishop-elect Chow currently serves as the provincial of the Chinese province of the Society of Jesus. He will take over from Cardinal John Tong Hon, who has served as the Apostolic Administrator of Hong Kong since January 2019. As the Church celebrates Laudato Si Week, ending the special year anniversary of the publication of Pope Francis's encyclical letter on care for our common home, the bishops of England and Wales released their message for Pentecost. The bishops are urging Catholics across the UK to use the Feast of Pentecost as an opportunity to pray and to contribute to repairing the damage inflicted on the earth so as to ensure a healthy planet for future generations. Our world, God's creation, is a precious gift to us. It is our common home entrusted to each generation, the bishops pointed out. They also recalled that Pope Benedict XVI and Pope Francis have both taught us that everything is interconnected and interdependent, and that the way we live our lives every day has an impact on everyone and on the earth. While emphasizing the need for a new global understanding of our world, where nations recognize our common responsibility for the dignity of all people and their rights to sustainable livelihoods, the pastoral letter remarks that the healing of our common home and the well-being and care of all, especially the poor and the marginalized, cannot be left merely to a response from industry and governments. They note that there are now many resources freely available to advise on the choice of food, saving of water and electricity, suggestions about travel, waste and reuse. There are also measures that everyone can employ in some degree with minimal inconvenience and change, they said. They are effective ways in which we can each reaffirm our personal vocation to be stewards of creation. The bishops recall that the United Kingdom is expected to host the next G7 in June and the 26th UN Conference on Climate Change in November, in which defining choices and policies will be made to help the world build back better after the COVID-19 pandemic. The pastoral letter concludes with a reminder that in all our human endeavors, we need the presence of the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life. The bishops therefore call on the faithful to keep the Feast of the Pentecost with that enduring hope that we can begin to repair the damage we have done and provide a healthy home for future generations. That brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, we invite you to visit our web portal at www.vaticannews.va. And you can also follow us on Facebook and on Twitter. My thanks go to our producers and to our technicians in studio. In the Vatican, I'm Father Benedict Mayaki.